food activities with cowherd boys and Mother Yashoda. The system of circumambulating all these places is still current among devotees of Lord Krishna. And those coming to Mathura and Vrindavan always feel transcendental pleasure. Actually, if someone goes to Vrindavan, he will immediately feel separation from Krishna, who performed such nice activities when he was present there. Jai. Now approaching Krishna via Radharani. Gotta go through Radha to reach Krishna. Upon seeing pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in compassion. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Please take note of this statement. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. The other day, on the bank of Shamkund, Narayan Maharaj also made one interesting statement. He said, Krishna is known as Tribhanga Lalitam. He has a three bending, his body bends at three places. Tribhanga Lalitam. He is not straight. He is kind of bent like that. He said for such a person to enter the heart is very difficult. Something that is not straight, you have to put that into something. It's very difficult because he is not straight. So put such a Krishna within a heart is very difficult. But then he also said, but once such a person enters the heart, to get him out is also difficult. You understood? Yes? Difficult, first of all, too difficult to get him in because he's not straight. But once he gets in there, he doesn't get out. That is why the advice, a good advice is that one should not look at this Tribhanga Lalitam form on the bank of Jamuna, standing on bank of Jamuna. Those who want to maintain his attachment to his family and friends and society and love, if he wants to maintain all these connections, advice is you better not look at this little crooked person. Because if you look at him, then you will lose all this, your connections and relations. And so that is what happens. The statement regarding Kartik, month of Kartik, month of Damodar. In Padma Purana it is said, the Lord may offer liberation or material happiness to a devotee, but after some devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura, during month of Kartik, the devotees want only to attain pure devotional service unto the Lord. The purport is that the Lord does not award devotional service to ordinary person who are not serious about it. Unless you are serious, Lord does not offer you His devotional service. Because devotional service is not cheap. Because once Krishna gives you His devotional service, then what do you get, ultimately? Huh? You get Krishna. If Krishna gives you His devotional service, then Krishna has to end up giving Himself to you, who is very, very valuable. So unless you are serious, Krishna is not going to give you devotional service. He will give you the whole world if you like. Take it. Play with it. Do anything and everything you like with it. You want to go to heaven? Fine, you go there. Wherever you want to go. If you are fed up with it, if you want to merge in Brahman, that also you may. That may also be awarded. So all these things Krishna is giving kind of more easily, but His devotional service is only for those who are very serious about it. But even such serious persons who execute devotional service according to the regulative principles during the month of Kartik and within the jurisdiction of Mathura in India are very easily awarded Lord's personal service. So that refers to what we are engaged in. Mathura, Mathura Mandal, Braja Mandal. Then devotional service, these items we had been mentioning. 5 items. Now the total regulative principles come to an aggregate of 64 items, as we have mentioned. The first are the primary 10 regulative principles. Then come the secondary 10 regulative principles. And added to these are 44 other activities. So altogether there are 64 items for discharging devotional service. Okay. Out of these 64 items, 5 items, namely worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating among the devotees, Sankirtan and living in Mathura are very important. So 5 important items. All the names of the forests have been mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. The specific pastimes in this period took place in the forest known as Bhandirvan. This Bhandirvan, along with 11 other vans or forests, is still existing in Vrindavan area. And the devotees who circumambulate the whole area of Vrindavan can know the beauty of this forest even today. And if the names have not been mentioned right here. Are you seeing some beauty of Vrindavan? The coward boyfriends of Krishna felt very proud of their association with him. At that time, the tip of his toe defeated the beauty of sesame flowers. The luster of his cheeks defeated the glow of pearls. And the two sides of his body were exquisitely beautiful. In this age, Krishna wore a silk dress that glittered like lightning. His head was decorated with silk turban covered with gold lace, and in his hand he carried a stick about 56 inches long. The length of the stick is there. The color of the turban and other dresses have been also mentioned. Seeing this exquisitely beautiful dress of Krishna, one devotee addressed his friend in this manner: "My dear friend, just look at Krishna. See how he's carrying in his hand a stick, which is bound up and down with golden rings. Have his turban with golden lace showing such a beautiful luster, and have his dress is giving his friends the highest transcendental pleasure." At the end of Krishna's Paugandha age, Krishna's hair sometimes hangs down to his hips and sometimes it becomes scattered. In this age, two shoulders become higher and broader, and his face is always decorated with marks of tilak. When his beautiful hair scatters over his shoulders, it appears to be a goddess of fortune embracing him, and this embracing is highly relished by his friends. Subal once addressed him in this way: "My dear Keshava, your round turban, lotus flower in your hand, the vertical mark of tilak on your forehead." Try to paint a picture as you hear this description. "Your kumkum flavored musk and all your beautiful bodily features are defeating me today. Although I am usually stronger than you or any of other friends, since this is so, I do not know how these features of your body can fail to defeat the pride of all young girls of Vrindavan. When I am so defeated by this beauty, what chance is there for those who are naturally very simple and flexible?" So like this, you open any page of Nectar of Devotion this month, while you are on Brajamandal Parikrama, this makes sense to you. And this sounds very relevant to you. And this is just so nice. Subal, one of the friends of Krishna. Subal was brother of Radharani. Yes? No. And that's his Radharani's brother. One of the kind is called anugas, anugas in Vrindavan. There are anugas in Dwarka also. Anu means
to go.
Anu means just behind. One who is always following in the footsteps of Krishna. He's always around Krishna. Among all the anugas, Raktaka is considered to be the chief. Description of his bodily feature is as follows. He wears yellow clothing and his bodily color is just like newly grown grass. He is very expert in singing and is always engaged in service of son of Maharaj Nanda. Let us all become the followers of Raktaka in offering transcendental loving service to Krishna. An example of the attachment felt by Raktaka toward Lord Krishna can be understood from his statement to Rasada. Just hear me. Please place me so that I may always be engaged in service of, must be blessed. So that I may always be engaged in service of Lord Krishna, who has now become famous as a lifter of Govardhan Hill. So this friend of Krishna called Raktaka, one of the anugas, he's a very good singer. So different friends are good at different things. Like different gopis are also good at different things, and every day they entertain Krishna, serve Krishna by their talent, by their devotional service. Either singing for him or dancing for him or playing with him or cooking for him, fanning him, massaging his body. They do all to please the Lord is their business. They have no other purpose. There's so many nice everything is nice related with Krishna.
Sri Srinithai Gaur Sundar Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, All Glory Shri Sambhati Puri, All Glory Shri Sambhati Puri, All Glory Shri Guru and Shri Guru, Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Ena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitanena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayham Dadati Supadanti Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pruhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी So Suta Goswami offered this prayer before recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. The prayer is Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam. So this refers to Nar and Narayan Rishi, who are the eternal residents of Badrikashram. Narayanam Namaskritya. Namaskritya means after bowing down unto Narayan, and then Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam. And Nar. Nar and Narayan. So Suta Goswami has offered his obeisances to Nar and Narayan. In this Varsha, Bharat Varsha, Narayan is the worshipable deity. There are different 9 Varshas in Jambudvip. Jambudvip is divided in 9 Varshas, and Bharat Varsha is one of them. Kim Purush Varsha and Hiranya, and there are several others. Verses. So in Bharat Varsha, Narayan is worshipable deity. And Narad Muni is a worshipper. In Kim Purush Varsha, Ram is worshipable deity. And Hanuman is worshipper. In some other Varsha, there is Kamadev. Is worshipable deity. Like that, in different Varsha, there are different worshipable deities. And in this Bharat Varsha, Narayan is worshipable deity. So, today we are fortunate while going around in Brajamandal, we are also able to visit this abode of Narayan Rishi, which is otherwise in Himalayan mountains, top of the mountains, at the topmost level. How high is it from sea level?
3,400 meters.
Huh?
3,400 meters.
Okay. So very high. That was very high.
You can see the clouds when you're standing on Badrinath. You can look down on the clouds.
Yeah, while you're in Badrikashram, clouds are down there. You have to look at the clouds. You are up above the clouds. So that is how high is this point, Badrikashram. Now, I understand already Badrikashram is closed for darshan this year. It is only open for 6 months of the year.
31st they are closing.
31st of this month they are closing.
Yes.
Yeah, 2 pilgrims just returned from Badrikashram. Dharmaraj and his good wife, they have just come back from Badrikashram with the news that This Bhadrika Ashram is closing by end of this month. So then in that whole big town of Bhadrika Ashram is only Nar Narayan, and there's a Vyasadeva, there's a Uddhava, there is a Kubera, there's a Lakshmi, and then worshipper Narad Muni. Only these persons stay in the town. Everyone else vacates out. They climb down to, they come to Rishikesh or Haridwar, or there's another town called Srinagar. They come to this town and they stay there for 6 months because it's all snow. So before coming down, they leave good supply of food grains, also ghee, so that the daily bhoga offerings are made to the deity. Now nearby this town, there are, in the Indian military has its camp, and some military men stay some distance away. And they say that they regularly hear blowing of the conch shell and ringing of the bell, and that those vibrations, sounds come from the direction of the temple while there's no one there. Also these residents of Bhadrika Ashram and the priests of Bhadrika Ashram, when they return, they also find all the food grains have been used, or supply gets exhausted by the time they go back, because it is daily used. Narad Rishi, Narad Muni and other associates, demigods, they come there and they continue the worship of Badri Narayan. So that Bhadrika Ashram has origin in Bhadrika Ashram that we'll be visiting today. Badri refers to a kind of fruit, a berry, found in that area. And there's some story, I don't remember, these trees are Lakshmi or somebody in that form, in that area. So, also, we know a few other names. We know Badrayani. Badrayani is the name of Sukadeva Goswami, who is son of Badrayan. Badrayan is Srila Vyasadeva, who eternally resides there. There's a cave of Srila Vyasadeva who stays in that cave in Bhadrika Ashram. In Satyayuga, Nar Narayan, they are performing severe austerities in Bhadrika Ashram. The austerities were so severe that again this Indra was afraid that they may become too much powerful and they may be elevated to the throne of Indra. Indra may be dethroned. He always has such kind of fear. So he sent Apsaras, the beautiful damsels, dancing girls of heaven, were dispatched for Bhadrika Ashram. And they were accompanied by Kamadev, Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shubham. Kandarp, the Kamadev, the demigod in charge of lust, who goes around with bow and arrow, is very beautiful also. You cannot face him. You simply have to surrender unto him. Especially when he shoots an arrow into your heart. especially if you are a young bodied person, you can come under the influence of this Kamadevi. So Indra sent these beautiful apsaras accompanied by this Kamadevi. Kamadevi in fact was leading this delegation. And also the spring season was also sent there, and nice birds like this, just to create nice atmosphere, spring season and chirping birds and dancing asuras, and the Kamadevi is there with his bow and arrow, so that the Narnarayan Rishi would fall down from their positions. That was the whole target. So whole endeavor was being made by Indra, but nothing happened. Narnarayan Rishi continued their austerities. We know several times Indra sends these apsaras, and most of the time they become successful. In this case, there was a total failure. They tried everything possible on the earth, and they were defeated. Narayan Rishi, their concentration remained intact. There was no deviation. It was completely calm and quiet, devoid of lust or anger. Sometimes the meditators either they become agitated by lust, so they fall down, or sometimes they become very angry, like Lord Shiva became very angry and he burned this Kamadev had come and he was personally dancing in front of Shiva, but Shiva opened his third eye out of anger and burned that Kamadev to the ashes. And Menaka, Vishwamitra was performing austerities for 60,000 years, and Indra sent one such girl. Menaka was sent, and just some jingling, tinkling of the bells, and there was complete collapse. So sometimes they become agitated by lust, or sometimes they become angry. But here at Badrikashram, Narayan Rishi, no anger, no lust. They continued. So, after this, this party from heaven was defeated. You know, Narayan Rishi did not want them to feel embarrassed or feel bad. They considered them as their guests and took care of them. Then Narayan, he also produced so many beautiful apsaras of his own. They are much more beautiful compared to the apsaras, those who had descended from heaven. And he also offered one apsara. He said, you could take this one apsara, a sample apsara, to heaven. Her name was Urvashi. Urvashi was arranged to go to heaven. So like this, Nar Narayan Rishi, Narayan and Nar, they perform austerities at Badrikashram. Badrikashram is a place to perform austerities. And that's the reason this morning we're kind of appealing to you all that you may also like to give a try to perform austerity by fasting on the day of Ekadasi, which coincides with our visit at Badrikashram. In fact, we did arrange so that we get to stay there in a secluded place and there's no walk. So, let us see. You have to turn your names if you are not fasting, which we will be announcing tomorrow morning after Mangalarti. Those who are not fasting, their names will be read out loud. So, So consider all this. Well, first of all, consider that Badrikashram is a place where Narayanarshi performed austerities, and they are still performing their austerities. And there are two special mountains. They have hidden themselves in these mountains, and they are still performing their austerities. So, in India, there are several holy places. There's a total number of holy places. It is 35 million holy places. And the calculation is as many pores are there on the body of humans, those many are the holy places in existence. So if you count all the pores on your body, there are 35 million. So those many holy places. So out of these so many holy places, there are four are considered quite important. And amongst the Hindus in India, this pilgrimage of four holy places called Char Dham Yatra is quite popular. Your life is not considered complete and perfect unless you at least once in your life do this Char Dham Yatra. On Padyatra, we went to all the four dhams, which are situated in four directions of India. As you have come to India, this is some education for you. For you, from India. So in the east, there is a holy place called Jagannath Puri. In the west, there is a Dwarka Puri. In south, there is Rameshwaram. And in north, there is Badrikashram, which ISKCON devotees did this yatra by foot, feet. While some Indian pilgrims, they are doing this yatra now, air yatra. Sometimes they do air yatra. Char Dham air yatra. They go to Bhubaneswar and then they take a taxi and go to Jagannath Puri. Like that. The closest airport. They go to Ahmedabad and then take another taxi. Like that. Air Yatra, yes. Last year there was advertisement in Times of India. Said, Char Dham Air Yatra. And people were asked to book this. So ISKCON devotees are kind of proving more austere compared to the Indian pilgrims. So these four dhams in four directions are, they become predominant in one of the four ages. Like in Satya Yuga, the Badrikashram is prominent. Now Narayanarshi perform austerities there. Then Treta Yuga, Rameshwaram has prominence. It has got importance. That is where Sri Ram on his way to Lanka stopped and performed some worship of Shiva as Rameshwaram. That was Treta Yuga. Then Dwapar Yuga, Dwarka is in focus. Lord Krishna appears there, performs his leelas and so many palaces. And in Kali Yuga, Jagannath Puri is a place. That is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spends 18 years of his last journey last 18 years and many pastimes there. So in each age, one of these four dhams becomes prominent. So like this, Badrikashram has got its own importance. But of course there is no dham like Vrindavan dham, which is ultimate pilgrimage. The statement in the scripture that say that all those who do this four dham yatra, if they do not take darshan of Srinathji, who is now situated in Nathadwara, he was once in Vrindavan, then your Chardham Yatra doesn't bear fruit. You don't get complete spiritual benefit unless you take darshan of Srinathji in Vrindavan. So, Vrindavan Dham is a topmost dham. And last night also we read how the parikrama of Mathura, residence residing in Mathura, pilgrimage of Mathura, that is ultimate of all the pilgrimages. So, a couple of years ago, our Padyatra team went to Badrikashram. We walked from Rishikesh to Badrikashram, which is 300 kilometers. 295 kilometers. We know all the length and breadth of this country now, kilometers. And the devotees really like that stretch of Padyatra. It took us about 3 weeks' time and was really nice. We had association of Mother Ganges all along. Every day we walked, practically every day we walked on the bank of Ganga. And we were in the midst of Himalayan mountain. And our pilgrimage was witnessed by sun. I even made this observation while we were doing parikrama, padyatra. We were predominantly just seeing three things every day for three weeks. The Ganga, Himalayan mountain, and the sun. There's nothing much more to see there. So we had association of these three things. And they're all Krishna. If you go through the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sthavaranam Himalaya. Of all the immovable bodies, I am Himalaya. Janavi? Srotasam asmi Janavi. Of all the rivers, I am river Janavi. Janavi tatavane jagamana lobha. Janavi is another name of Ganga. She took birth from, she came out from body of a Janu. Janu was the name of the sage. As Ganga was going down, you know, there was Bhagirath Rishi, as she appears from heaven, she first of all comes into the matted lock. Matted hair of Shiva. Shiva is applying brake because he's coming very speedily. So Shiva is holding That's why one name of Shiva is Gangadhar, holder of Ganga. Then she comes through Ganga Mukh. Just little, just tiny stream. And then, so this Bhagirath, he had performed austerities and he wanted to purify the existence of his predecessors. 60,000 sons of Sagar. So he was trying to bring Ganga where they had been burned by Kapil. Kapil just looked at them and cursed them, and all 60,000 of them, they burned to the ashes. There was no firewood was required. Their bodies, and just flames came out of the body. And they just, there were 60,000 hips, and they just sat there. So he was trying to bring Ganga in that direction. So when he came closer to Bengal, now Ganga was, so Bhagirath was going, blowing conch shell. Yes, you come this way, you come this way, come that way. So Ganga was following. And then in the middle, there was a sage called Janu. He was performing austerities. Says Ganga was going speedily following Bhagirath. This sage also went, swept away with the current. So which he did not tolerate, he became very angry. And then he drank whole Ganga. So Ganga was coming from Himalayas, had traveled long distance. And but she was not going beyond that point. Just entering the body of this sage. So Bhagirath was wondering what happened, he made so much endeavor to bring Ganga to the earth and she was following. So then he realized, because he was not cautious, he did not, the Bhagirath did not pay attention to the sage who was performing austerities, and he also was swept away with the current of the waters. So then he begged his pardon, Bhagirath, and then he allowed, okay, now you could go. Now you realize your mistake. She came out of the ear of this sage. So she came from Janu, so another name of Ganga is Janhavi. So at Badrikashram, there's a river called Alakananda, one of the branch of Ganga. And
this is the Bhagirath, it comes from Kedarnath, the jungle.
Comes from Kedarnath, and Samba is the whole picture. So like that, so Ganga is Krishna, and Himalaya is Krishna, and sun is Krishna, like that. We are a close association of Ganga, Himalaya, and the sun for 3 weeks. And it was, I have some fond memories of that journey through Himalayas. And nice people, we distributed some books also. And it's very beautiful. Water is so clear, crystal clear. No pollution, no air pollution, no water pollution. Everything is clean. Closer to heaven. And on the way to Badrikashram, it was very nice. And some Mahabharata pastimes, different things happen in that area also. And there's a beautiful flower valley where Bhima had gone to bring some flowers. And there was a Hanuman. He had become old and had spread its tail on the narrow path. You know the story? So we'll talk about these stories tomorrow morning. There are some Mahabharata. Tomorrow will be Mahabharata. Madhrika Ashram reminds us of some of the Mahabharata pastimes. So, we also are planning to go back to Himalayan mountains and do Padyatra one more time. And a lot of devotees are waiting to go on that pilgrimage. I think we're going to have a good crowd. So that will be in year. What is this year now? 89. I think by 92, 93. So get ready to go to the other Badrika Ashram by 93. Our journey will start in Mayapur. Doesn't start in Rishikesh. It starts in Mayapur. This Mayapur festival will start our journey from Mayapur, and then we will we'll go to Jagannath Puri by Rath Yatra festival time. Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra is in July. So we'll be there in Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra. Then we'll go to Tirupati Balaji. Then we'll go to Madras. There's a deity of Parthasarthi in Madras. Very nice temple of Parthasarthi. Then we'll go to Kanchipuram. We have invitation from this nice couple that is walking with us. They are lovers of Padyatra. And you want us to stay for one day there?
10 days.
10 days? You want us to stay for 10 days. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there. There are two. There's a Kanchi, there's a Shiva Kanchi and there's a Vishnu Kanchi. There are two Kanchis. And this Kanchipuram is one of the 7 cities, special cities in India. Puram, Dwarka Puri and Mathura Puri and Kanchipuram and Ujjain, Avantipur and Banaras, Kashi and Madurai also. Like there are 7 special towns. Kanchipuram is one of them. So that's the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travels. So we'll go to Sri Rangam, we'll go to Rameshwaram, we'll go to Kanyakumari, we'll go to Trivandrum and take darshan of Ananta Padmanabh. From on the way to this Trivandrum, we'll go to Adi Keshav temple where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found Brahma Samhita verses. Brahma Samhita was found at Adi Keshav temple. South India is a different India altogether. North India is a spoiled India. The South India is like an ancient India with big, huge, big temples. You cannot even imagine how big are those temples. Because they are from last previous age. They are there from Dwapar Yug. In Dwapar Yug, the process for attaining God, Krishna, is deity worship. So they are still continuing. the deity worship and gorgeous temples. Because when we go with Harinam Sankirtan, then it is complete. Mm. Otherwise, they are one age behind. They are way behind. They should be chanting and dancing, but they are still worshipping. Yes. So we go there to remind them, now there is another age. Add Harinam. And they like, when we go with Harinam, they like us. And you are all allowed also there. There are big signs at the entrance of most of the temples saying, not foreigners, no, only Hindus allowed. Non-Hindus not allowed. But every single of those temples, all Prabhupada's followers from all over are most welcomed. We are such a nice, wonderful, wonderful receptions. Temple priests coming with elephants, decorated elephants, with a golden decorations, golden whole thing. And kumbha, purna kumbha, mantra chanting, and we had a nice time. A nice prasadam, payasam. Yes. You must take some payasam if you go to South India. It's real nectar. And in Tamil Nadu you get buttermilk. Nice buttermilk. They call it moor. Buttermilk is called moor. That's a Tamil name for buttermilk. So while they were serving this buttermilk, our devotees would always say, more, 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 more. Yeah, more, give me more.
More.
So they had a nice time with the more and payasam and idlis. And idlis come from South India. Idli dosa. Your mouth is watering with all this. We have only khichdi here today. But, and you have to come with us, then you can eat all these nice preparations. So then we'll continue our journey on the west coast of India, going north. And there are many other places, many, many holy places. Guruvayur is another place where one temple has 40 elephants. They have elephant shala, like a goshala. They're able to maintain 40 elephants. And in this temple they chant Hare Krishna. Thrice a day they take Utsavamurti, small deity, around Parikrama with the 3 elephants. And the priest carrying small deity. And in the front there's a Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. They chant Hare Krishna in front of the procession, and these elephants, they have procession like that every day. So very opulent temples, very ancient temples, very tall, huge, big temples with nice receptions we get. Then we'll go to Tirupal, we'll go to Udupi, Madhvacharya's place, nice Krishna there. Then we'll go to Pandharpur, Vithala, 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 place of Pandurang. And then other places, we go to Nashik. I think by that time there will be Kumbh Mela at Nashik. Next Kumbh Mela is in 1992 at Nashik. So we are trying to work out our schedule so that we get to attend this Nashik Kumbh Mela. And then we go to Dwarka. And then we go to many, there are nice places in Gujarat also. Ranchorai temple is there, and Sudama Puri is there, birthplace of Sudama. And there's a Somnath near there, the Prabhas Kshetra, where that big battle of the Yadu family. family fought among themselves, and then Krishna met Uddhava near there and asked him to go to Badrikashram. So that place also. Then we'll go to Nathadwara, where we'll have darshan of the deity of Madhvendra Puri. Then we'll go to Pushkar in Rajasthan, only place in the universe where Lord Brahma is worshipped. There's no other Brahma temple. Pushkar. That is where Shurpanakha performed austerities. As a result, she had association of Krishna in Mathura. She became Kubja. Then we'll go to Jaipur and have darshan of Radha Govind, Radha Damodar, Radha Vinod deities in Jaipur. And near there is also a place called Nim Karoli, where Radha Madan Mohan deities are. And then we'll come to Vrindavan and take darshan, enter through the Bhaktivedanta Swami gate and take darshan of Krishna Balaram. Then go to Hastinapur for darshan of Radha Parsarthi, go to Kurukshetra, recites Bhagavad Gita, and then go to Haridwar or Hardwar. If you are a devotee of Hari, you would like to call it Haridwar. If you are worshipper of Shiva, you would call it Hardwar. This town is pronounced two ways. And then probably we'll go back to Mayapur. It's time for gradually going to Calcutta to celebrate Prabhupada's 100th birth anniversary, which is in 1996. 3 years from then. So we'll have to gradually go in direction of Calcutta, Mayapur. So like that, we plan to make one more circle of this Indian continent, walking all over. It's such a nice education. You could learn these things by sitting in a classroom. You could also see every inch of it. Take a look at the deity and hear the history and perform the austerities and preach. Of course, now we are not preaching, we mentioned. Don't think we are not talking to the people. Now we are preaching to ourselves during Brajamandal Parikrama. We are trying to become more potent preachers, become more purified, develop some love of Godhead, become free from lust. We are working on those things so that we could go out and preach. So while going all over with Padyatra program, we do lots. There's all preaching. At every step there is preaching. There's book distribution, there's whole village comes and we have arati and darshan of the deities and some prasad distribution, book distribution, film show and Lakshmi darshan. You all get to see our Lakshmi the elephant. So, like that. We have some desire like that. So let this desire tree fulfill our desires. And, so if you want to go to Badrikashram, come join us. Yeah, join us. Stay on. We'll give you Bharat Darshan. Darshan of all the deities. We'll do one Bharat Parikrama. What we found in Braj, we go all over India and distribute that, share that with the residents of this country. And then we are also planning to take it all over, meet people everywhere. Our Padyatris are now in Mexico, distributing some mercy in Guyana and like that. We'll talk about some of our plans. We are also planning Padyatra in Europe. So all devotees from Europe, we want to meet them sometimes towards the end of Brajamandal Parikrama and discuss our plans for Padyatra in Europe, just for your information. Maybe you could do something to assist us to get it off the ground, get it on the road. We also have Padyatris. Here we have Padyatris from America walking with us. We have Padyatris from India walking with us. We have Padyatris from Mauritius, Harinamanand. The devotee in charge of that's him. He is from Mauritius. He did Padyatra for 18 months in Mauritius. And your name? Adidev also from Mauritius, Padyatra. Did Padyatra in Mauritius. So this is a meeting ground of all different Padyatris, and this is a breeding ground also for future Padyatris. Okay, we'll talk more about Padyatra. Srila Prabhupada Sankirtan Padyatra, which is meant to celebrate 100th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada. We are sitting on the bank of Tapashakund. The name of the kund here is very appropriate because this is a place of tapasya where Narayan Rishi, Naranarayan Rishis perform austerities. This is original Badri ashram. Here they call it Adi Badri. This is Adi Badri. Original Badri. And one in Himalaya is that one is expansion of this Badri Ashram. On the altar you saw different deities. There's a Nar and there's a Narayan. Narayan and Badri Narayan meaning the same. And there's also Uddhavji here. In Badri Ashram, Srila Vyasadeva also resides. In Badri Ashram in Himalayas, there is a cave of Srila Vyasadeva. There's one near the temple and one quite some distance from the temple. They say one that is close is not the real one. So, while Madhvacharya was present on the planet, he visited Badri Ashram and he presented his writings to Srila Vyasadeva. And Srila Vyasadeva went through the writings and approved and appreciated Srila Madhvacharya's writings. In 77, our Narad Muni traveling Sankirtan party also had been to Badri Ashram. And when we returned to Vrindavan, we informed Srila Prabhupada that we had shown Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is to Srila Vyasadeva. Bhagavad Gita. So, when Prabhupada heard that, he liked it. We will talk about that part a little more, a little later on. This morning we mentioned that Indra had sent Apsaras and Kamadev so that the Naranarayan Rishis, they would be agitated and would stop the tapasya, the austerities which they are performing. And they were to keep these people quiet. Thoda jack up. Shanti. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Nothing happened to Naranarayan Rishi. They kept on with their austerities. There was no fall down. So these apsaras who were aspiring, or they were there to kind of induce Naranarayan Rishi, they were attracted by Naranarayan Rishi. They wanted to have a conjugation union with Naranarayan Rishi, which did not become possible in Satyayug. So those apsaras who were sent by Indra from heaven, they were also given opportunity to associate with Krishna as the gopis of Vrindavan. We have yet to talk about this. This is a big topic going to come up gradually. Different kinds of gopis. In different parts of Braj, there are different kinds of gopis having different origins. Origin in Dandakaranya forest, or origin in heaven, or origin in Ayodhya, like that. So we'll be opening up those topics gradually. So, but for the present discussion, just remember that those gopis, those apsaras from heaven, who had come to Badrikashram, they failed in their mission, so they were given a fortune to associate with Krishna. Near here, not far from here, is a Rohit Parvat. Parvat means mountain or a smaller mountain hill. Like a Govardhan Parvat, like we say Giridhari, Giriraj, or Govardhan Parvat also it is said. So to this Rohit Parvat, Lord Krishna and Radharani had come, and in the middle of the Rasa dance, which was going on at Govardhan, Krishna and Radhika, they left the company of the rest of the gopis, and they are looking for a seclusion. So they found this Rohit Parvat, and that is where Radha and Krishna met. And in the dialogue that Krishna had with Radhika, he mentioned how in the past he has defeated or smashed the pride of Brahma at some point, and Indra, and all these different big personalities. So this was one statement that Lord Krishna made to Radharani at Rohit Parvat. Then this is a place where Krishna did come to this Badrikashram. Why did he come here?
Take opportunity to do his father and mother.
Yes, he was. It's a duty of the son, like Vishwambhar, to take his father on pilgrimage to the places of pilgrimage. Now here the father is taking son on pilgrimage. Especially elderly parents, the duty of a son, when parents grow older, they are to be taken on to places of pilgrimage. So Nanda Maharaj was quite elderly person. When he gave birth to his son, Krishna, Nanda Maharaj was a very elderly person. And then he also had desired to go visit Badrikashram. That's the time Lord Krishna came with the residents of Braj, and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda also visited this place which we are sitting and staying here for a couple of days. Lord Krishna had come here, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They had come here. And this is still, don't think, because it's all mountain and all that. This is Braj. This is still Brajamandal. For entire month will not step outside Vrindavan or Braj. Will stay within Braj. Now we had been heading towards west, and from Dig we are kind of turning north, and then after Nandagram up to Koshi we keep going north, then we head east all the way crossing Jamuna and going to Bhandirban. And then we go south. So approximately that is how we would be moving. If you take a look at the map, it is not a circle but kind of square. Praja Bhakti Vilas says it is hectagon.
Octagon.
Eight sides. Octagon. Supposed to be like that. Adi Badri Nath is at Adi Badri. Adi Badri is the name of the holy place. And the worshipable deity here is Badri Narayan or Badri Nath or Badri Vishal. Is known by different names. So this is place where Uddhava also stays. We had been talking about Uddhava on the bank of Kusum Sarovar. We mentioned that Uddhava resides at two places. One place is on the bank of Kusum Sarovar, Uddhava Baitak place, between Narad Kund and Kusum Sarovar. He is residing there in the form of the creepers. And another place where he resides is at Badrikashram. And that was order of the Lord of staying. Lord ordered him, go stay at Badrikashram. So Uddhava is following that order and residing at Badrikashram. Srila Vyasadeva is staying there also. And Alkapuri, the The place of Kubera is also not far from Badrikashram in Himalayas. So on the altar of Badrikashram temple, there's also Kubera. And there's also Garuda. There's a Lakshmi. There are different, the whole little kingdom there on the altar. And as the history goes, Badrikashram in Himalayas, the deity of Badri Narayan was reinstalled by Shankaracharya. He found this deity in a lake nearby. And some followers of Buddha had earlier thrown that deity into lake. And Shankaracharya reinstalled that deity. And the head priest of this Badrikashram is always from Kerala state. And there's a Nambudripad, huh?
Nambudri.
Nambudri. There's a... Is that caste? What do you say?
Nambudri.
Yeah. The Brahmins in that tradition, they are worshipping for... Last 1200 years, the head priest always comes from Kerala. And he's taking care of the deity worship there. In Badrikashram. So, while our Narad Muni traveling Sankirtan party was there in 77, we had visited several places, and when we returned to Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple, because we had heard that Prabhupada was not keeping well, and his health was getting worse day by day. That was the news we had received. So we came to Vrindavan, and we had an opportunity to visit Srila Prabhupada, going to his quarters. And Prabhupada was, everyone knows, he was very, very sick. For months he was lying on the bed. But he was always enthusiastic to hear the reports of Sankirtan from all over the world. Whenever some GBC would come, some Sankirtan leader would come from different parts, Prabhupada would like to hear. Or Sankirtan newsletter coming, Bhakta newsletter, he would like to hear the reports of how books are being distributed, how the devotees are being enrolled. So when we arrived, Prabhupada was very kind to give us time to see him and give the report. And Prabhupada was inquiring, yes, which book is selling the most? And what is your daily collection? And Prabhupada was making all those inquiries. So that's the time we mentioned to Prabhupada that we had shown Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he was very pleased to hear that statement. In the course of our giving a report of our visit of Badrikashram, we also mentioned that we went to Bhim Bridge. There's a bridge called Bhim Bridge, and we were told that this is the place that Bhima left his body. While all the five Pandava brothers and Draupadi, they were going to Badrikashram. They were all leaving their bodies one after the other. The youngest one. Is Draupadi the first one to leave?
Yes.
Draupadi was the first one who left the body. then Sahadev, then Nakul, then Arjun, then Bhima, like that. As the party is traveling, walking, also there was another person, there was one more person walking with them. There was a dog. There was a dog also in that party, was walking. So Yudhishthira Maharaj and the dog, they survived longest. Others left their bodies. So Bhima also had. Why they left their bodies? Which person left the body for what reason? That also has been stated in Mahabharata. Arjita Mitra Prabhu has all those details. We'll try to give these details to you maybe tomorrow. So there's one place they claim that Bhima left his body from. So we had mentioned that. So after we were given sufficient time by Srila Prabhupada to hear our report and scores like that, then our party was, we were leaving Prabhupada's quarters, and I was one of the last ones to leave. And then Prabhupada called me back. I was almost out of the door. Prabhupada asked me to come back. And Prabhupada was lying on the bed and speaking with very low voice. So I went almost near, sitting next to the bed near his head, near the face. So we're talking. And Prabhupada asked me a question. He said, "I want to talk to you." Prabhupada was very serious. In a very grave voice, Prabhupada said, "I want to talk to you." At the same breath, he said, What time suits you?" So I told Prabhupada there was no question of what time suits me, any time. He preferred. I was willing to come see him. So we had settled 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And anyway, to tell you, probably have heard this or read this before. So I did not know what to expect. So I was speculating, thinking maybe Prabhupada wants to talk about this, that. So it was about 4 o'clock. And then I was going in direction of Prabhupada's quarters. And the secretary directed me to Krishna Balaram guest house lounge. And then I entered the area. I saw there were 15-20 senior devotees, sannyasis, yogis were sitting. Kind of waiting for me, because Prabhupada had discussed some things earlier during the day, and there was some role that I was going to play. So when I went there, I was told that Srila Prabhupada wants you to rent or hire bullock cars.